and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the demoniac sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had had the legion, and they were afraid. Those who had seen what had happened to the demoniac and to the swine reported it. Then they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. And he was getting into the boat. The man who had been possessed by the demons begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused and said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. It's a joyful morning. I've seen many of the runners and walkers on the Broadway and Hill Street area of Chinatown. And again, we are thankful for those who ran or walked this morning and continued to stay with us in worship. I kind of joke with some of the ushers and greeters this morning in the front that at 10 a.m. our sanctuary was nearly half full, which, if you haven't been here before, that's kind of an amazing thing. So now I'm wondering if we should try to have a run or a race every Sunday, right, to get you all here on time. Let us pray. Loving God, I just ask that you guide my words, that they speak your will. Lord, you know the reflections we hold on our hearts and as we hear the message through your word. Lord, that you know we truly want to serve you. We hear your message, and you are our creator, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. So we have started this season of Lent in our Christian church. The season of Lent is a fun time. You know, you're asked to give up something or take on something. At most, it talks about being in a season of repentance as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for us. It's simply also a time to be more in prayer, more in discipline, and draw closer to God. Maybe a time of self-reflection and examination. Again, we think about Lent and the acts that Jesus Christ took in his ministry during those years that led up to the time of the cross. And this morning, we're going to talk about Jesus and his amazing work that he did in Mark chapter 5. I kind of like to think about it as Jesus did what? Kind of question mark, question mark, question mark. And I have a friend who I grew up with, and she has this son named Jack. And she would always call me once a month because she lived in the D.C. area, and she'd say, "Oh, Jack did this week." And I and the other friends would say, "Jack did what?" Now, let me tell you some stories about Jack, and it'll kind of tie into my Jesus did what kind of story. So my friend's son, Jack, when he was little, he loved chocolate milk. And one time they ran out of chocolate milk. So in his morning cereal, they gave him regular milk. And he was so upset that he went to the pantry, took a bag of M&Ms, and poured them into his cereal bowl because he thought that would change his milk into chocolate milk. So when she told us about that, our response is, "Jack did what?" Another time, little Jack, he went to the zoo and he fell in love with the tigers. He thought, like, the tigers were so cool with their orange and the black stripes they had. So then when Jack went home, he took my friend's nail polish, her orange nail polishes, and proceeded to draw stripes on his arm, up and down his arm and on his face and neck and body. She posted a picture and put it on Facebook, and it'll probably haunt Jack years later when he's older. But it's another "Jack did what?" story. Or this is one of my favorites. When they were trying to potty train Jack when he was about 2 or 3, they were trying to explain how he's getting older and everyone has a certain place where they need to go potty, and so for him it was the toilet. They had a kitten, a cat, and for the cat it was the litter box. You know, they tried to explain all these things to help potty train him. And then the next day my friend said she got a call from his day caregiver at the nursery school. Jack decided to go to number 2, poop, in the sandbox at the school. Because they told him that the cat has a special place, the litter box, so maybe Jack connected that. Another "Jack did what?" story. Jack's actions were not normal. I know you as parents might have some other funny stories to share about your kids, or we have nieces or nephews, or maybe even our own parents have funny stories about us. But they're not normal. They're so different that they're shared and you kind of have a funny response to it. So So Jesus' actions in this morning story were not normal. They were bold, they were daring, they caused people to be angry. He started to do things in his ministry that brought, yes, attention to him, but maybe not the best attention. As you remember last Sunday, I talked about Jesus healing the man with the withered hand. He dared to do that on a Sunday in the Sabbath day in the temple in front of Pharisees and scribes. That began a time where then the Pharisees and scribes began to conspire against him. It says that they began to work with the Herodians to plot against Jesus. Jesus didn't stop there, though. He then continued with his ministry, and we see in this morning's passage from Mark 5 that Jesus did another thing that angered people, that brought him more to people's attention, that even led more towards what I would call his path to the cross. Now, look at this morning's passage, and I printed in your worship bulletin in the box on the right-hand side in the inside cover a background story, but I thought I'd share more of that story. It reads like the perfect movie setting. Imagine Jesus with his disciples on a boat in a lake, and they're coming to the shore of Gennesaret, and as they step out on the boat, they see this man coming out of the tombs. In biblical times, the tombs were not like how we have here, where you could go to Rose Hills and visit a grave site. The tombs then, back then, were usually caves in hills. So imagine as Jesus is stepping off the boat and he sees a man coming out of a cave. And this man had been possessed by demons, they say. So possessed that the people in his village would try to restrain him. They would use chains, they would use shackles, they would use all these things to try to keep him in that tomb area. But then when this Jesus and his friends, disciples, come off the boat, they see the man is not restrained anymore. It says that he had been restrained with shackles and chains, but he had wrenched the chains apart. He broke the shackles in pieces, and no one in the village had strength to subdue him. They say that night and day as this man lived in the tombs, he was always howling. He was possessed, remember. He was bruising himself with stones, actually taking rocks and hitting himself over and over again with stones. And then when this man sees Jesus from the distance, Jesus coming from the lakeshore off the boat, this man yelled at the top of his voice to Jesus, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the God Most High? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me." This man who had been chained, this man who had been beating himself up, this man who had been secluded in the cave from the people of his village, sees Jesus and asks Jesus, "What would you have me to do? What would you do to me?" And he begs Jesus not to torment him. And Jesus says to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Jesus recognized that this man has been possessed by the devil, that he is filled with an unclean spirit. And Jesus does the most amazing thing. He doesn't turn away from the man. He doesn't try to shackle the man back up again. He doesn't try to get the other people in the village to help subdue the man again. He says to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he even asks the man, "What is your name?" What a beautiful, simple question Jesus asked the man. He's offering, in a way, hospitality, a daring and bold action. He asks the man, "What is your name?" And the man replies a unique thing. If I were to ask you, "What is your name?" Andy would say Andy. If I were to ask Lucy, "What is your name?" Lucy would say Lucy. But this man who had been possessed by demon, he no longer had his given name. He called himself Legion. He says, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He is possessed by the devil and the demons, and he knows that he has many demons inside of him. Yes, most likely because of all the sins he had committed or all the wrongdoings he had done. But theologians say it was more than that. It was how the people of his village had treated him that caused him to be more and more in despair and caused more and more of the devil to enter him. The people of his own town had rejected him. He'd been left shackled in a cave. He'd been bruising himself, and no one had cared for him. So he called himself Legion because he knew he was possessed by many, many, many demons. And the man, he begs Jesus to help him, and Jesus does help him. And the demons inside of this man beg then Jesus to not send them out of the country. They see that on the hillside nearby there is a herd of swine feeding, and they say this herd numbered nearly 2,000 pigs. Imagine a scene like that, 2,000 some pigs. And the demons then, these unclean spirits, they beg Jesus to send them into the swine, to let their spirits enter the swines instead of being sent out of the country where they would no longer have homes. And Jesus does this amazing thing. He probably could have easily have snapped his finger and the demons would have disappeared. He probably could have yelled at them and prayed to the Lord to make them go away. But instead, Jesus lets the demons have their way and puts them in the bodies of all these swine, 2,000 some pigs. Imagine that in your head. And then what happens is once all the demons, the unclean spirits are in these pigs, it says that they rushed down a steep bank and into the lake. And they were drowned. That is the background story of what we get for this morning's encounter of Jesus with the possessed man and the people of the village. Jesus did this amazing action. It's a bold thing, they say. It was a daring thing, they say. But the amazing or the unique thing about this is that it angered many people. He helped one man, but he killed over 2,000 pigs and swine. And there is more meaning to that and what happened. But Jesus did this amazing thing. Jesus, who the Son of Man, the Son of God, who came to save us from our sins, we know he did so many things. We know he performed miracles. He turned water into wine. He walked on water. He did so many healings. He healed the lepers. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He even healed a centurion's servant. All of these actions he did were not law-breaking. Who would argue with someone who turns water into wine? There's no law in any law book that said a man can't walk on water because they never expected it to happen. But none of the things he did were law-breaking until he did this action. And then he started to do similar actions where he was in his ministry breaking the law. But Jesus, I want to say, is doing these things on purpose to teach the people then a lesson and to teach us a lesson today. He wants to teach the people to give up being afraid. He wants to teach the people to give up rejecting God as they had been doing. He wants to tell the people to take on God's love instead, and to tell the people to take on the telling of God's love and mercy to all. So in the season of Lent, we are challenged to do that as well, to give up being afraid, to give up rejecting God, and to then instead take on telling of God's love and mercy, and to take on the Lord's love for us. We are called to do those things. The first thing we are called to do is to give up being afraid. Now we know the people in this morning scripture passage that after the swine had drowned in the lake, we see the swine herds, the people that had cared for the pigs, they ran off into the city and into the country, and they told others what had happened. And then they came to see Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the demon sitting there. He was no longer shackled in chains. He was clothed. He was in his right mind. This very man, they say, who had been possessed by legions, thousands of demons and devils, was no longer crazy, was no longer a danger. And what was the response of these people? They were afraid of this man. It says they were afraid. They weren't joyful that this person from their village had been freed. They weren't celebrating this person's saving by Jesus. Instead, they were afraid. How often in our times are we afraid? And when we are afraid, what are our actions? Sometimes when we are afraid, it causes us to do crazy or unnormal things. I have a friend, and it's kind of a funny story, but it's actual real fear that she has. She says when she was about 11 years old, her parents took her to the zoo. And this was a zoo in Alabama, and I guess the monkey cages, the bars were kind of wide. So when she was little, 11 years old, she was looking at a monkey eating a banana, and she thought it was so cute. And it was so cute until the monkey reached out, clawed her face. And so she had for a year a scar from when the monkey clawed and scratched her face. Imagine an 11-year-old going through this scary experience. And since then, she's had a fear of monkeys. And so every year, when it becomes Chinese New Year, Year of the Monkey, kind of, you know, Maya and my other friends were like, how can you be Chinese and not like monkeys? How can you hate Chinese New Year because of the monkeys? And, you know, there's cute monkeys. You who ran your firecracker race, if you hold up your pendant, you have a monkey on it, right? My friend has such a fear of monkeys that she will avoid anything this Chinese New Year. She won't go into restaurants because she doesn't want to see the pictures of the monkeys, even if they're cute. She won't go on Facebook because she knows people's posting posts with, you know, monkeys or Happy Chinese New Year. She just avoids it. She knows it's irrational, and she knows it happens when she was younger, but she has a fear of monkeys. When you fear something, it does make you act in a certain way. It actually keeps you from doing things. It can make you freeze or be frozen. And that is what was happening to these people. They did not truly understand what had happened. They weren't joyful at the freedom that this man now had. They were so confused. They were so afraid. And then this is the action that it caused them to have. We know that in this morning's passage from Mark chapter 5, verse 16, it says those who had seen what happened to the demoniac and the swine had reported it, and they then begged Jesus to leave their neighborhood. Their fear made them reject Jesus. In our own lives, when we are fearful of things, who do we turn to, or do we turn away from God? Are we like the people in this morning's passage that because they were so afraid that they then turned away from Jesus, that they rejected him, they begged him to leave the city? If you read this morning's passage from Mark 5, verse 1, all the way through verse 20, you'll see the word beg happen many times, where the man who was possessed by demons begged Jesus to help him, where the demons that were in this man begged Jesus not to send them out to the country, where the people here are begging Jesus to leave. They rejected Jesus. We do not need to be like these people who reject Jesus and beg Jesus to leave. We instead need to be like the man who was freed from the demons and begged Jesus to be with us. That is the better response that we must follow, to not take on, to not give up Jesus, to not reject him, but instead to take on a life with Jesus. To be like the man that in this morning's passage, that as Jesus was getting back onto the boat because the people had begged him to leave, the man who was possessed by demons instead begged Jesus that he might be with him. This is how we need to act instead, to beg Jesus to let us continue to walk with him, to follow in his footsteps, to be in service like Jesus was. And Jesus, he actually refused the man. He says, no, go home to tell your friends how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown to me. That is how the man could be with Jesus. He didn't need to physically be next to Jesus, just as we as Christians today have never seen Jesus physically. I've never touched the hand of Jesus physically, but I know that Jesus is with me, and I will be like that man then, to go and tell people all that the Lord has done for me, to share of the great mercy that the Lord God has given. That is what the man did when Jesus told him to leave him, to go into the families and tell that, and that is what we must do today. So in this season of Lent, when we talk about giving up something, and I know I've asked before, and some of you have shared what you've given up. Some said they have given up caffeine. I can't imagine. I don't drink coffee, but I love the smell of coffee, so I can't imagine smelling coffee at a Starbucks or from coworkers and having to give that up. If you're like me, you've given up a food item. I've given up sweets. It's been really hard. Last night at the family fellowship dinner, we had a sweet potato cake and green tea ice cream. It was a Japanese-themed dinner. Anyone getting hungry? But it's, you know, something you choose to give up. I always challenge the children's choir youth to give up Facebook. So far, none of them have dared to do that. But it's a great sacrifice to give up something. Or as I shared in the past, I have a friend for every Lent. She's Chinese, like Asian, like most of us. She gives up rice for Lent. Can you imagine not eating rice? I know, for 40 days. But she knows it's a sacrifice. And those are things, material things, that we can give up. But from this morning's passage, I hope we learn that we must also remember to give up being afraid, to give up being in rejection of Jesus, to deny that we know Jesus Christ or have Christ in our hearts. Instead, we must take on the work that Jesus did, take on remembering Jesus' love shown through him, as he showed it to the man who had been possessed, as he even showed it to the villagers as he did leave them when he was asked to leave. To remember to then be like the man who was healed from the demons in this morning's passage, to tell then of all the wonderful works and acts and the mercy and love that we receive from the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we hear this morning's passage, the story of your Son, the Son of Man, the Son of God, and his actions. Knowing that he, yes, was rejected, but instead he knew that the life of one, this one man, was so important, more important than the life of 2,000 pigs. And Lord, we are so thankful for the love and mercy that you show us, and through your Son, Jesus Christ, who we receive eternal life and forgiveness of our sins. In your Son's name. Amen.